Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, welcome, friends. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Thanks to Joe Beamer for doing a magnificent job sitting in for me. And if all goes well, I hope we're going to have, I will promise you at least mediocrity today. Never promise anything more than mediocrity. And I deliver each and every time I say that. We have a lot of things and a lot of places that we can and probably will go today. But I want to revisit a subject that we talked about a few weeks ago. And I promised you we would revisit it because to me it happens to be a very, very important subject, and that is the idea of putting all these wind turbines out into Lake Erie from Hamburg, Wanaka, all the way down to Dunkirk. And some of these wind turbines would be basically as tall as the Seneca 1 Tower. So you know how when you're on the 219 and you look out and you see the city of Buffalo and the cityscape, the biggest finger that sticks up? Well, that's the Seneca 1 Tower. And that is the height of some of these wind turbines that they are they're talking about putting into Lake Erie. Now, Sharon Trembath is one of my guests, and I'm going to share with you something she wrote. Recently, Governor Hochul announced finalized contracts for her Clean Path New York and Champlain Hudson Power Express to deliver clean, renewable energy from upstate New York and Canada to New York City. Translation: industrial wind turbines will be installed in our Lake Erie, and the power they generate isn't going to help us in Western New York anyway. It is going on to New York City, and we get absolutely nothing in return except, I might add, a very despoiled aesthetically, and who knows in what other ways, Lake Erie. They want to put them on the lake because they don't have to buy or lease land that way. Now, joining us in studio, gentleman who joined us before on this issue, he is Jim Hanley. Jim, good to see you.
Good to see you, Tom. Thanks for having us.
And a newcomer to the scene, at least as far as this show is concerned, although she's been a warrior for a while, Sharon Trembath. Sharon, thanks for making the jaunt up to us in Amherst. Good to see you.
Thank you, Tom.
The name of the group is Citizens Against Wind Turbines in Lake Erie. For those of you in Canada, that would be Citizens Against Wind Turbines in Lake Erie. And I like to be bilingual to start off the program. Now, your telephone calls and your opinions are very, very important because we all want to hear what you have to say about this issue. And I will tell you right up front, my bias is the Great Lakes are one of the greatest gifts that God has put on this planet, or Mother Earth, or science, whatever. One of the greatest gifts that we have. The world's second largest collection aggregate of fresh water. Human beings need fresh water. Every civilization that has ever existed has needed fresh water. And the lakes, and I've long been of this opinion, need to be guarded very, very zealously because the lakes, to me, equal life. And I am absolutely not in favor of these wind turbines being placed into the lakes for many of the reasons that you're going to hear Sharon and Jim enunciate. So, Sharon, let me start off with you. And the question is, what's wrong with wind turbines in Lake Erie? The Sierra Club supports it, and they're all about wildlife and fluffy things.
The Sierra Club? 10 years ago, the Sierra Club called them bird Cuisinarts. But the Sierra Club seems to be bought out by Michael Bloomberg, who is giving them millions of dollars to fight coal and to promote the wind turbines.
Okay, so that is the Sierra Club. As far as your opposition to the wind turbines on the lake, what are some of the biggest reasons you are opposed to what would seem to be this clean and renewable source of magnificent energy in exchange for a few windmills dotting the horizon?
Tom, I think the biggest thing is fresh water. We can't survive without fresh water, and they have to realize that the Great Lakes are 20% of the world's fresh water. If these leaking monstrosities go into Lake Erie, and some of them can hold up to 400 gallons of lubricant up in their nacelle, up in the motor, this could ruin our water. Not to mention, I don't know if people know that in the eastern end of Lake Erie, there's salt mines under the lake. If anything digs into the salt mines, we could end up with the Great Salt Great Lakes.
Did not know that. Actually, the geography of Lake Erie. Jim Hanley, you were on the show a few weeks back. Has anything substantively changed regarding the advancement of this wind turbine in Lake Erie idea in the intervening time?
Tom, you know, we just don't know because nobody knows. All the politicians don't know. Sean Ryan has no idea what's going on. Brian Higgins has no idea what's going on. But Kathy Hochul has been making phone calls to people in the South Towns asking for support, and so has Assemblyman Crystal Peoples has been making calls inquiring about it. But it's funny how some of their fellow Democrats don't have any idea. And the funny part about it, when we have our lake-wide talks, you know, here it's Democrats. In Ohio, it's Republicans because of supporting farmers and whatnot. So it's not a party issue, but it seems to be sometimes. How can a governor who is a Western New York resident be so in support of this that not only dropping property values, we've talked about a million things, eyesore property values, who's going to want those out there? And the biggest thing for me as a fisherman, making my living fishing, is the destruction of the bottom of the lake. You know, we always say you'll only see the turbine above the surface of the water, spinning around. Those blades are very, as one friend's wife said the other day, oh, they make me feel so peaceful when I watch them. And I said, well, under the surface, they're going to be dropping this thing down on top of all types of old pollution that's been sitting there. And then in order to get the cable to the shore, they've got a jet plow. And that jet plow is like a water jet that digs a trench all the way from where that turbine is to the shore. So if that's 15 miles, that's going to be 15 miles of destruction of the habitat on the bottom, knocking out spawning areas and plant life and whatever it might be. So we haven't really heard anything new yet, but it's in the works.
So let's just try to go a little bit beyond the scenes here. Sharon, I asked Jim this question the last time, and you know, when you see a situation that you don't understand, you always try to look for the financial interest. So my question to you is, with this whole wind turbine in Lake Erie idea, who's getting paid? Who's making the money off this idea?
Initially, it's the lobbyists. The lobbyists are the ones that are pushing for the turbines. After that, it would be the developers. The developers will get enough subsidies to keep their project going until the subsidies stop. When the subsidies stop, traditionally, these folks go bankrupt. It's all shell company. The company that wants to put them in Lake Erie, which is Diamond Wind, is a subsidiary of Mitsubishi. So it would be nothing for Diamond Wind, who has 79 employees, to just go belly up and walk away. And we're stuck with the turbines in the lake. And who's going to remove them?
And we talked the last time about the blades used on the wind turbines, Jim. Not exactly. First of all, they've got a limited usability factor. And secondly, when they die, you have to take special care with their disposal.
Yeah, absolutely, because they cannot be recycled. So they're buried in landfills or whatever, and there we have pictures of them. Somebody in Bath, New York sent in a bunch that were being buried. And one of the people on our group is going to call in. We found out something new about those blades. It's going to be very interesting. So when Mike calls in, we're going to put Mike, I see he's probably on here now, and we're going to have Mike talk about this because he's the geek of our group. And no offense, Mike, but you're the smart guy. You know all the engineering background and whatnot. And when he presented this to us, we had a press conference with Chris Jacobs yesterday on a new Clean Water Act for the Great Lakes. And we talked about that. It just blew my mind. It's just unbelievable.
So, and where's Chris Jacobs on wind turbines and
he's against them all the way, yes. He's been in support of our group along the way. And talk about support. Frank Panasek joined with 1791 Society. We saw you at the meeting the other night, and we have Frank's support, and all his tens of thousands of members are joining our group and opposing turbines in Lake Erie.
The name of the group, and you can find this on Facebook yourself. I'll put the direct link up to it when I have a second to breathe. Citizens Against Wind Turbines in Lake Erie. And as we move along, while I have my two guests in studio, Jim Hanley and Sharon Trembath with Citizens Against Wind Turbines in Lake Erie, is there anybody listening to my voice right now who thinks this is a good idea? Is there anybody listening right now who wants to see wind turbines in Lake Erie? Because I'd like to give you the opportunity to speak with Sharon and Jim and make your case. Last time Jim was on, I received a couple of emails from people connected to the wind turbine industry, but they weren't authorized to go on and talk publicly or anything like that. But if there are any real, just plain folks out there listening who want to applaud the idea of wind turbines in Lake Erie, you can call in as well. 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Sharon Trembath and Jim Hanley, Citizens Against Wind Turbines in Lake Erie. Jim, before we go to the telephones, I want to ask you, are there precedents for locating these enormous wind turbines in a body of water? Can you demonstrate that in previous attempts to site these things, either fresh or salt water, that the marine environment was damaged?
No, there has been no precedent for freshwater. Saltwater they have, and I believe it's off of Massachusetts somewhere they put some in, and they are working around with the fishermen and fish habitat. They do make great fish habitat, and that was one of the things that when they first Diamond Wind first came to town, and one of the representatives says, you as a fisherman, you're going to make out great. Just pull your customers right up to the turbine, and you can fish right next to them. And I said, you're a liar. I said, you think Homeland Security is going to let me get close to those things? I said, there's going to definitely be a half a mile or a mile radius around those that we're not going to be able to do. So they just came out with lies right away just to try and press their case.
Well, and speaking of Homeland Security, before we get to the telephones, the radar imprint of these gigantic wind turbines is thought by some to have a possible detrimental effect on drug interdiction, human trafficking interdiction, immigration enforcement, because it's leaving Homeland Security with a giant gaping blind spot because of the radar shadows of these turbines. Is that a true argument, Sharon, or is there any merit to that?
I would agree with that, and I would also like to add that if you look at Doppler radar, when they show the weather on TV, you can always see where the wind turbines are. So they do give a shadow, and they do interfere with the Doppler.
Sharon Trembath is with us now. Before we go to the calls, history repeats itself. And I don't remember doing any shows about this, Jim, 12 or so years ago. But this is not the first time that people who are concerned about our Great Lakes have had to stand up and say no to wind turbines. What happened over a decade ago? Who had the ideas? How were those ideas beaten?
Well, we found out quite by accident, it was 12 years ago, that NYPA presented a project to install wind turbines in Lake Erie. It was called LEAP, the Lake Erie Alternate Power. And then we had a group of people. It was just like 12 of us that fought this. We stuffed mailboxes. We did phone calls. And ultimately, we stopped it because we brought up the part about dredging old toxins from the steel plant. And, you know, that's one of the reasons it stopped. This time, they're going to put them on poured concrete platforms. And as a history nut, you have to realize what's going to be covered with these concrete platforms. All of our history, all the War of 1812, any Seneca relics that are under there, it's all going to be gone forever.
Well, I think the other argument that Jim has made is when they drop these gigantic concrete weebles, when they drop these giant things onto the lake floor, by virtue of sheer physics, the stuff on the bottom is going to be sucked up as the giant mount of the turbine goes down. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And where are they going to put them? You know, a lot of our complaints are, where has the environmental impact statements or studies been? They just want to put them in. They don't even want to do any research. We haven't heard any research. We haven't seen any research vessels. And believe me, we look for them all the time.
We do.
We have so many people that are watching the any big vessels that might be out there doing research. We also, and I brought that up the last time we talked, Tom, is there are 2,000 shipwrecks in Lake Erie. Only 375 have been discovered. Where are those other ones? Are they going to put those down on, like Sharon said, War of 1812 was fought on Lake Erie, right outside of Buffalo, all this area. So are they going to put that down on a graveyard that was a shipwreck for somebody, a great spawning grounds for bass or walleye or whatever? And that's, you know, we talked about that yesterday. The Great Lakes account for $7 billion in economic impact from sport fishing alone and employ 75,000 people. So that's a huge, that would definitely affect the sport fishing.
Just from sport fishing?
Yes, sir.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. Yep.
Absolutely.
You got it.
We are in studio with Jim Hanley and Sharon Trembath with Citizens Against Wind Turbines in Lake Erie. I put the link to their Facebook page on the Bowerly on WBEN Facebook page so that you guys, if you're interested, can join the group and become involved. A question each of you before we break, and then we're going to go to telephone calls right after the break. But a question to each of you is that every time something is proposed in Western New York and maybe elsewhere, every time somebody has an idea, there's always got to be an environmental impact study. Now, you put a shed in your backyard. We need an environmental impact study. That's a bit of hyperbole, but I think you get the point. Has anything been referenced by this company wanting to put these turbines into the lake about an environmental impact study?
No, not that I know of, Sharon.
No, and the other thing I'd like to add is the environmental community is split in half. I'm a diehard environmentalist, and I'm against these, whereas people that are lucky enough to write into the Buffalo News, that they're for the turbines, and we can't figure out why. I mean, we're all fighting to save the birds and the bats. They wouldn't let them put the Peace Bridge in because of the Comintern, but yet this, they have no problem with these bird Cuisinarts killing our wildlife.
And bird Cuisinart is the term that was used 10 years ago by the Sierra Club to describe what they are supporting today after you say they were given a lot of money by Michael Bloomberg, who does not like coal.
We're talking millions.
So basically, when you hear Sierra Club, should we in our mind substitute Sierra Club with Michael Bloomberg?
I would say, I think it was $128 million, or that's their budget or something. Sierra Club is huge. They got all this money. And the hypocrisy is that they're a group that is supposed to support conservation, and they're supporting the destruction of conservation. So I don't know.
All right, but before we break, other problems with wind turbines in the lake that we really haven't mentioned. I mean, without even going into the science of it, the aesthetics alone to me disqualify this. That would be a non-starter for me. The aesthetics of the lake, looking out over that resource and seeing these giant monstrosities on the lakescape, it literally makes me sick.
It's funny you should say that, because when we started 2 years ago, we were advised to stay away from aesthetics, stay away from the sunset, when actually this is our biggest asset. We should really care. And one other thing about those concrete platforms, common physics tells you that the push and the pull of the current around these concrete platforms is eventually going to change the shoreline. Anybody that lives on the shoreline or is worried about shoreline erosion should be up in arms about these concrete platforms.
We will take some telephone calls. And again, if there are people out there in the real world who think putting the wind turbines in Lake Erie, that that is a good idea, this is your chance to talk with people who know what they're talking about and see whose opinions make more sense in the big scheme of things. I don't live on the lake, but I like to look at the lake an awful lot.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, it is 2:37 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Kind of funny just looking at some of the emails that came in when I was off, and you know, people wanting real experts on COVID, and I'm not the one with the MD after my name. I have a regular series of guests on the program locally, and I think he's going to be with us tomorrow, actually, for an hour, Dr. James Harreth. I get the executive director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, Dr. Jane Orient, on, Dr. Peter McCullough on, born here in Western New York at Kenmore Mercy Hospital. And every time I've had Dr. McCullough on, he always takes great pains to use and source footnotes, and got an email from somebody alleging that he was putting out bad information. So, you know, I would suggest that when you hear somebody that you believe is putting out bad information on the show, that you call into and talk to that person with the MD after his name. I don't know what else to tell you. But right now, we're talking about the wind turbines in Lake Erie situation. We have with us Sharon Trembath and Jim Hanley with Citizens Against Wind Turbines in Lake Erie. And again, if you are a citizen in favor of the wind turbines in Lake Erie, your telephone call for people who obviously feel differently than you is welcome as well. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Let's get to the calls, and it's Mike to lead us off in Brandt. Mike, you're on WBEN. Welcome.
Yeah, good afternoon. Can you hear me, Tom?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yep. Well, thank you, Tom, for the opportunity, and thanks to Jim and Sharon for showing up there. Appreciate all their effort. And we've been working actively for the last few years, you know, fighting this overall industrialization of the wind. And most recently, I came up with an article out of Norway, University of Norway, that did some research on the materials that make up the turbine blades. These turbine blades are gigunda. They're huge. They can weigh up to 60 tons, and they're spinning in the air. But basically, each turbine blade is made up of a fiberglass-based material covered with an epoxy shell and some other coatings to help protect the turbine blade. Now, as these turbine blades spin in the air, they actually erode. The erosion is caused by just the wind itself and the differential pressure associated with wind, but also it's heavily exacerbated by rain, sleet, and snow and ice, which sounds a lot like what Lake Erie is exposed to quite a bit of time.
Yeah, can we talk about that for a moment, guys, because we're not Florida, and we get very icy conditions. It's below freezing out right now. It's been below freezing, well below freezing for several days. Have they thought through the winter aspect of wind turbines? Do you have special concerns? And Mike, we'll get back to you, but Jim, do you have special concerns about the wind turbines in winter?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Lake Erie is so destructive. You know, we live along the shoreline. Sharon's one of my neighbors. And there, when Buffalo was that prosperous town it was back at the turn of the century, there were concrete docks that were poured into the lake, all the affluent folks. That ice has pushed those clear up onto shore. Now, do you think that the force of the ice, now we didn't have any ice cover last year. This year probably won't either. It's just starting to form now and it'll probably break up. But a few years ago, we had 44 inches of ice that even the cutters couldn't go through. Can you imagine 44 inches of ice and the pressure that has? It'll probably be able to crush one of these towers. I don't know for sure, but we've had violent windstorms. It's knocked out a hole in Donnelly's Wall, which is outside of Erie Basin Marina. It knocked out the front of the Horseshoe Reef Lighthouse. Just concrete has just actually exploded from the force of that wind. The Bills game. Look at that Bills game we had in that heavy-duty
against the Patriots.
Wind it was going on. You think it's not going to affect these blades? And even though they shut them down, what Mike is talking about, all the erosion from the wind and the rain and the snow is going to start flaking those blades off. He's got some really important information about.
All right, Mike, let's go back to you with the next point you wanted to make.
I just wanted to introduce how the blades are manufactured and what goes into protecting them. And as they spin in this environment, there's a phenomenon called leading edge erosion. It's referred to in the industry. And that is the normal wear and tear of a turbine blade. And that's why, they have to be replaced every so often, because as they wear, the performance degrades, and they get to a certain point that they have to be replaced. But one has to ask themselves, what happens to this material that's eroded off the turbine blades? Well, it falls into the lake water. Well, what's this material made of? Well, primarily, it's made of fiberglass and this resin material, epoxy resin material. And these they flake off in microplastic size nanoparticles, and that material that erodes is primarily made up of bisphenol A, which is BPA, which is a known carcinogenic, and it's going to be in the micro form that's going to be emitted into the water at a rate of 17 million, at that rate of erosion, okay, will result in 137 pounds of this microplastic per turbine per year going into the water, which will contaminate 17 million gallons of water.
Now, Mike, I can hear people right now saying, well, wait a minute, Lake Erie holds about 127 trillion gallons of water. So would the lake not be able to absorb the kind of degradation of which you speak?
Well, you've got 17 million gallons per turbine per year. And, the longer the more turbines you put in and the longer they run, that accumulates in the environment.
All right, Mike, I thank you very much for the call. We're going to get on to some other people. We are talking live in studio with Sharon Trembath and Jim Hanley. The group is Citizens Against Wind Turbines in Lake Erie. And I'm very heavily biased in their favor, by the way, I might add. Let's go to Dave in Blaisdell. Dave, you are on. And I'd like to hear from anybody in the general public who is 100% plus for these wind turbines. This is Dave in Blaisdell. Dave?
Hi, Tom, and thank you for doing another segment on the subject. I'm also a member of Cautile, and I'm an aquatic biologist and also a fishing charter. You mentioned a little bit about the environmental impact statements, and anybody who's done work in aquatic systems knows that that's the primary thing you need to do to get started. And, that burden falls on the developers. I think a lot of questions come our way as to what the potential impacts might be, and we can only speculate, but that's kind of our job is to speculate. It's the developer's job to prove or to demonstrate that they won't have any negative impacts on the environment.
I don't know if you know the answer to this question, but are there laws in place that just automatically would make a developer do an environmental impact study given a situation like this? As Sharon brought up the Peace Bridge before. They studied that thing for years, and they said, well, we can't build a new bridge because the common turn is going to smash itself to pieces on it, and no more common turns. So do you know, Dave, if there are statutes which require such a study to be done?
Yes, not only in aquatic systems but terrestrial systems. Any of those environments, based on the size of the project and, the potential, the impacts. And they have to go through, an increasingly difficult set of steps to prove or to demonstrate that they won't have any negative environmental impacts.
Jim, Sharon, any comments from you?
I don't know, to be honest with you, Tom. That's not my specialty. I'm a fisherman. But it would seem that that would be necessary for anything. I mean, we have to do environmental impacts for anything. They're going to do the Kensington now. They're going to probably check things out there. I don't know, but I would assume there should be.
Sharon, based on your work over 10 years ago fighting the other wind turbine in Lake Erie project, does anything come up from the background back then that might be relevant to this?
Actually, it's the same fight. And, when you see people like Jerry Buchheit, when he wanted to take down Fraser Queen to put up apartments, they stopped him because of birds. And every time this comes up, it's the same argument that we have why we're trying to prevent this machinery going in our lake.
That's a perfect example. What hypocrisy.
Yes.
Jerry had such a hard time. He took down Fraser Queen, was going to build 12 stories there. These turbines are going to be way, way bigger. That was a perfect example. Downtown, the biggest building in downtown Buffalo, these are going to be bigger than that. But they were worried about birds flying around
they
that,
sure
but they're
were.
Not worried about eagles flying into these or birds flying. The hypocrisy just drives me absolutely crazy.
No.
And this is an experiment. This has never been done in fresh water before. There are turbines in the ocean. They're trying to put them in the ocean, but these are going into the lake. And one of the things about the expense is when they fail, and they will fail, they have a life expectancy of 15 to 20 years. Who's going to remove them? Are they just going to walk away and leave them to Western New Yorkers to take them out of the water?
Well, as you pointed out, Diamond Wind, as you say, if they're owned by Mitsubishi, Diamond Wind can just turn belly up and leave,
yes.
And nobody's going to be able to hold Mitsubishi, presumably, responsible for any remediation or removal of these these things, these critters.
Yes.
Tom, I had a comment about zebra mussels, if you have a second.
Is it relevant to what we're talking about today?
Yes.
Okay, zebra mussels. Haven't heard about zebra mussels in a while. Go ahead.
Right. They don't make the news anymore, but since they've been introduced in the 90s, they completely cover most of the rocky areas of the lake. And they're capable of filtering 40 liters of water a day. And, of course, there's billions of them out there. So through this filtration, what they've done is deposited the suspended heavy metals and toxins that were in the lake on the bottom. So, of course, back to the wind turbine base constructions, they would resuspend these pollutants and simply drift downstream toward our water intakes. That's a big concern about.
Good point.
Something that has recently been added.
Jim, I don't know if this is actually. Thank you, Dave, for the phone call.
Thank
don't
you.
Know if this is even relevant, but did the zebra mussels play any role at all in freshening up Lake Erie?
It certainly did. They were a curse when they came in. There was all kinds of inventions on how to get rid of them. Put bag on the lower unit.
This
of your
is
boat.
Buffalo. Learn how to fry them and put hot sauce on them.
Yeah, it was a curse, and they really took over. I would say. In the mid-90s, we could see water. We could see the bottom in 35 feet of water. It was like being in the Bahamas. It was absolutely crazy. And now they've actually maturated to a point where they can't sustain what was there at one time. Now there's just a population of them, and they have water. Clarity is now maybe 15, 18 feet, which is still incredible. But they have, along with the gobies, another curse that we thought we hated. The fish are bigger than they've ever been before because they're sight feeders. So it's actually been, I hate to say a blessing, but, it really, everything adapts. Lake Erie was so polluted, it's cleaned up, it's adapted now. We don't want to, reinvigorate that pollution that's on the bottom. And these fish or the gobies and the zebra mussels have literally invigorated the populations of Lake Erie of bass and walleye. 150 million estimated walleye in Lake Erie coming up this year.
We are at 2:50 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Let's get back to the calls. It is Jack in Buffalo. Jack, you are on WBEN. Your take, your question, your comment for our guest from Citizens Against Wind Turbines in Lake Erie.
Yeah, Tab, hi. I'm an ensign to Captain Jim there. I'm a member of Cartel myself. And I was thinking that in this weather, we can be reminded that ice will form. And not to say, not to dismiss the fact that it could crush the turbines. Let's just say it doesn't crush them. But a blade falls off, a fire starts, one of them starts to leak. Does Captain Jim know any way heavy equipment could be gotten out there to take care of such situations?
No. How would you do that? I mean, if the ice was super thick, you could maybe do it. You'd have to, everything would have to be done by helicopter in the winter. And what if the weather's bad? You're not going to be able to stop that.
So. Yeah, what an excellent point. If something were to go wrong, especially in the middle of winter. Anything else from you, sir?
No, Tom, I think it's great that you're giving us the time to talk about this. I would encourage people to look into the human side of this and to go back in history and see how this all started. It's people who are very liberal who want to tell the dumb people, as us, how things should be done. This didn't start from the marketplace. I mean, people didn't want these turbines. They came from an ideological strain that started back with the Malthus. So I encourage people to look into that.
All right. We'll not be doing a show on Thomas Malthus anytime real soon, but, I wouldn't, you never know. Senator George Borrello is on the line with Jim Hanley and Sharon Trembath. Senator, thanks for calling in. What is the update from Albany on wind turbines in the lake?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for having me on. I'm driving back from Albany right now. But I have carried legislation now. We also have matching legislation in the Assembly that would ban placing industrial wind turbines in any freshwater lakes in New York State. I think it's the responsible thing to do. As you've already discussed, there are, numerous unknowns of the impacts that these will have. But unfortunately, we have a lot of very powerful interests, largely financial interests and political interests, that want to pretend that this is going to be a good thing. And it's not going to be a good thing for our environment, and it's certainly not going to be a good thing for the people of Western New York. And we need to push back, and we need to have every single one of our elected leaders in Western New York, senators, assembly members, county executives, they need to be on record as to where they stand with this. Yeah. Because this is going to happen if we don't push back and push back strongly. It's going to destroy our freshwater lake. It's going to threaten our economy. And we need people to understand what's going on and speak up.
Senator, as a practical point, you've got the governor, who is the de facto head of the Democrat Party in New York State. They run everything in New York State. Is it going to be possible for you to muster enough support legislatively to put a roadblock in front of this idea?
That's why we have to have all of our members of the Senate and the Assembly in Western New York, Democrat, Republican, to stand up to this. I know that that there's a lot of pressure on them because there's a lot of money involved here, and that's really the ultimate goal. You have a lot of corrupt politicians that will profit from this, and you're going to have a lot of largely foreign companies that will profit from this. And unfortunately, with the help of blind faith liberals, environmentalists who want to convince us that we need to destroy our environment in order to save the planet. And that is the false narrative that is being pushed out there right now. So we can push this through in Albany if our members on the other side of the aisle, the Democrats, stand up, the Western New Yorkers stand up and say, no, we will not allow this. We will not allow us to be the guinea pig for something that's never been done anywhere in the world. And we will not risk our fresh water, which is providing drinking water for 11 million people just in Lake Erie, to be threatened for something that is just an investment scam that people will profit from, largely foreign companies and Wall Street investment firms.
Can you name any of the corrupt politicians who would make money off of this?
Well, look at it this way, my friend. We know what's going on out there. We know that there are, in other situations, an elected official would never be able to accept a land contract with a wind turbine company because that would be considered a conflict of interest. But we've legalized that corruption in New York State. The same thing is happening with the environmental review process. We have the Office of Renewable Energy Siting, something that Cuomo created, to sidestep all the environmental regulations, all the due diligence. And that's what's happening here. They are not going to study the impact on the lake. They are not going to study the impact on the wildlife. They are going to do it and force it through because ORES, the Office of Renewable Energy Siting, will get to push it through. And they will. The DEC is already doing it with wind turbines on land. They're already allowing the slaughter of endangered species, the destruction of habitat, in order to force these projects through. So there is a high level of corruption involved in renewable energy, and that's what they're going to do to try and push these offshore wind turbines into Lake Erie.
All right, Senator, thank you
very much
for the call.
Thanks, George.
Senator George Borrello on WBEN. I think when we come back, we might want to talk a little bit about some of the politicians who have lined up for you and those who may be a little bit slow off off the whistle. We're going to do another hour on this, folks. The Citizens Against Wind Turbines in Lake Erie. Sharon Trembath is with us. Jim Hanley is with us. And again, please don't send me emails at 405 saying, here's why your guests were wrong. You call in now and talk with the people who have spent a lot of time studying this of their own free will and volition. The phone number is 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN, wind turbines in Lake Erie. And we're not talking about cute little Dutch windmills. We're talking about things that are they're behemoths. They're the size, the height of the Seneca One Tower. And they're talking about, 50 of these things from Hamburg, Wanaka, down to Dunkirk at this point.
And to start.
I just aesthetically alone, I cannot believe that we're even talking about this. And then you get into the whole bird situation. I remember what we went through with the common tern. I don't remember the bird Cuisinart reference used by the Sierra Club a decade ago, but suddenly everything changes because now we can, as you put it, virtue signal and say, oh, look, we have clean, renewable energy. Of course, you're also decapitating eagles and osprey, but it is 2:58 at News Radio 930 WBEN. It is Bowerly back with our guests and your telephone calls after we've got the news at 3 on WBEN.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.